Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to the live podcast from RomanceCon. I just want to give you all a little warning that the first minute is a little blown out. It's a little hard, but it gets fixed, so don't worry about it. If you're like, ah, my ears! We did our best to edit it, but this is about as good as it's going to get, so enjoy. All things nerdy, book, TV, movie, pop culture, fandoms, and how they integrate into our adult lives. Christine.
And I'm Natasha.
And today we're live from RomanceCon. And we have three special guests, authors Julie Murphy, Sierra Simone, and our social media extraordinaire, Chloe Laverson.
Hello.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
So today we're going to be discussing smut in romance books.
Ooh.
And what's our preferred level of smut? What makes it good? What makes us put it down? Our favorite tropes and all those things.
Yeah, an explicit warning. If you're listening right now around young ears or at work, maybe be careful. Maybe put in some headphones. Just beware. It's going to be explicit today.
It's brave to listen at work.
Oh, yes.
But some people do. We hear it all the time.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Okay, and if you don't know, we're going to start with what is smut? If you don't know, it is like dirty scenes in a book. The definition is a small
flake of soot or dirt.
Small.
Okay. But synonyms include sexual material, filth, and obscenity.
Ooh, I like filth. Let's get filthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. And it's become a new thing post-2020 era. When you, like, read a book, you review it, and you also give it a spice rating. Mm. So people know how smutty it gets up on in there. And so to break the ice today, we're going to take a second for everyone to introduce themselves, including myself and Natasha, since this is a panel at a romance con, and maybe you're like, who the fuck are these forking fangirls? We will let you know. And as a break the ice question, we're going to go down the line. Tell us who you are, what you do, and what's the first sex scene? And it doesn't have to be explicit. Just the first sex scene that you remember reading, and what your preferred level of smut is when you're reading. Like, how many peppers. That's how they rank them. Stars and then peppers for the spice. All right. Do you want to start, Julie? Because you're first on our doc.
Sure.
Kick us
Hi,
off.
I'm Julie Murphy. I am supposed to say who I am. I like to say that I write books from cradle to grave. So it's everything from
cradle
picture books.
To
nice and morbid. So it's everything from picture books to very saucy adult romances. And because I'm unhinged, I write it all under Julie Murphy. So
you have range.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, the first sex scene I remember reading, I read this series as a child. I think Sierra and I probably both have the same answer to this, but I really ghosted over the sex scenes when I was reading it as a kid, and then as I got a little older and revisited it, I realized that as I was reading Clan of the Cave Bear and the second Clan of the Cave Bear book, there was sex happening on top of a horse.
Oh.
Oh my God. Wow.
Taylor Swift stands that on a sounds horse in the Blank Space video.
But does she have sex?
No.
Yeah.
That sounds
really talented.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I'll let you take our other one, because I think that we have the same ones. Do you think we do?
Maybe.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Flowers in the Attic, baby.
Yeah.
Also, I was a big movie person, and I was the youngest in my family, and so a lot of the initial sex scenes I were exposed to were cinematic. And so my favorite movie when I was in kindergarten was like Sleeping with the Enemy and Ghost.
Oh my God. Wow.
So I think like those movies had some of like my first sensual moments, and like specifically Pretty Woman. Like I didn't understand what her vocation was, but I wanted to do it for a little bit.
My God.
Yeah. Okay. And Chili Peppers. As a reader, like, I have, like, I'll just give me 10 out of 5 Chili Peppers. Like,
yeah, real.
I have no boundaries.
Real. Yeah. What about you, Sierra?
Well, I have a lot of the same answers. So I'm Sierra Simone. I consider myself to be somewhat of a smut theologian. So I write spicy romance. I usually write spicy romance on my own that is integrated with aspects of spirituality. So I'm probably best known for my book Priest, which has, you know, a little bit of a taboo theme. But then with Julie, I co-write much happier, less provocative books, the Christmas Notch series, starting with a Merry Little Meet Cute. So I write happy and sad, but all spicy, no matter what end of the spectrum you're on. And I think my first sex scene was Clan of the Cave Bear. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny.
You guys have the same one, but you didn't know each other. This. How is this?
Here's what I think. I think that, like, if you're a certain age, Clan of the Cave Bear was just in your house. I don't know.
How old were you when you read Clan of the Cave Bear?
I was 8.
Oh my God.
Old.
What happens in it? I need a description of, like, what's the sex scene like? Is it explicit?
Okay, so.
There's a lot.
Hold on. We had an argument about this last night, because I'm like, Julie, you're thinking of Valley of the Horses
when she
meets John Dillard.
John Dillard.
These names.
But in Clan of the Cave Bear, if you guys don't know, it's about like an anatomically modern, like Homo sapiens girl who's adopted by a clan of Neanderthals.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And when they need to like relieve their needs, they have like a special sign language that they use to be like
a mating dance?
Yeah. Well, it's like just like you sort of like get down on your knees.
Oh.
And then
we do that now too.
Yeah, you do. So, yeah, and it's so funny to me because I think there's a lot of, like, panic among, because I'm a mom, and so I see some panic among parents of, like, oh, our kids are being exposed to so much smut through romance books. And I'm like, you want them to be exposed through smut through romance, because the other way is through Clan of the Cave Bear.
Yeah.
And
or, like, really
just
icky
be
porn.
Perverted forever.
Yeah.
Wow. How old were you when you read Clan of the Cave Bear?
I just got an education.
Like 11.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Youths.
Yeah. And your chili peppers, there are not enough.
Yeah, there's not enough chili peppers.
Yeah.
Nice. Chloe.
Hi, y'all. My name's Chloe, and I'm the social media manager for Those Working Fangirls. I'm also on the show pretty often, which is, like, such an honor, and best friends with these amazing women. I also create fandom girly pop content as well. I consider myself an avid reader of disgusting, filthy, nasty smut. And, like, the filthier, the better.
Sounds like you're singing Christina Aguilera's Dirty.
I mean, yeah, exactly. That's how filthy I want it. Usually of, like, the hockey cowboy variety. Also Germani, obviously. But for me, like, the nastier, the better. I don't think I could be shocked anymore. So, yeah, I think I broke the scale as well.
How old were you when you read your first?
Yeah, so my first sex scene was actually, y'all don't know this, but Breaking Dawn, for sure. And I was 11, and I remember I was in fourth grade, and we had like our individual reading time, and I was like giddy reading it, and I felt so like naughty, because I mean, I was too young to be reading it.
Everyone was so young.
I know, it had just come out at that point, I think, and I was giggling, and I was like, everyone is looking at me, because they were like, this bitch needs to shut up, like, what is she doing? So that was my first intro into like smut and sex, and then after that I found like Lemons on fanfic.net.
Yeah, see, that's what it was called first.
Yeah, Lemons, and my life has been...
Wait, it is, you have to describe what it is. Nobody knows what you're talking about.
Like Lemons
smut.
Are is smut. And before, like, smut became a really popularized word, people would say, like, lemony in the description as, like, a warning for people. And I only read fix after I discovered lemon.
Where do
fix.
You think that comes from? Sour?
Yeah, maybe.
We have dirt and now sour things.
Yeah.
Why is sex sour?
Do you guys
sour?
Have an idea?
But there were limes too.
Limes? Limes, yeah. What was the difference between a lemon and a lime?
Tequila?
I think she knows.
Oh,
like a sour
lime
face.
Lime is more sour than lemon.
Alicia's just saying that it makes your face go like, like a sour.
Yeah. Lemon sour.
Oh my God. So like limes are probably the fix I read. More than
wow.
lemons, because they're like, ooh, that's a little, you know what I mean?
Lemons are way more sour than lime. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they are.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Moving on. Natasha.
Hi, I'm Natasha Polis. I am the co-host of yes. Those Forking Fangirls podcast. I have been on the internet for like 11 years now, and now I'm a content creator and I make my own clothes on the internet because there's just not enough plus size representation in that world. Twilight is the thing that is why I'm here. I give everything to Stephanie Meyer.
Our name is kind of an ode to Twilight, those forking fangirls, like forks.
Forks.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Thanks.
Okay, so my first, I think, sex scene that I remember, my mother gave me Forever by Judy Blume.
Ooh.
And I feel like that was a lot of people's first, too. It was 14. But my mom and I watched Sex and the City together, like, from ages 7 and up. And
wild.
Like when they were airing, but she would like fast forward through the sex scenes. But then sometimes, like there's one sex scene. I remember like Samantha just had her legs spread eagle, and she's like, oh, fast forward, and that lives forever in my mind.
Did she just fast forward through the whole show? Like,
yeah,
that's a lot.
Like, it's
my
a
mom
lot.
Covered
my eyes. That's how she did it.
Yeah. I'm still not allowed to watch Sex and the City.
Yeah, I mean, I love smut and books. I'm like 10 out of 5 chili peppers, but I don't need that much smut in my books. Like, at least if there's like 2 to 3 scenes, I'll be good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I love dirty stuff.
You love
stuff.
It all.
I do love it all. I love kinky stuff.
Same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm going to be blushing a lot during this episode.
Embrace it, you know? Embrace the blush.
All right. Hi, I'm Christine. I'm the other co-host, the other host of Those Forking Fangirls. I am an author. I write rom-com books about women finding themselves in their 20s and further and on. And I've been on the internet for a million years too. I'm an internet ancient. I started as a YouTuber. My name was Poland Bananas Books over there. I've been there since ancient times, so like 2009, 2010. And I now make books and content like a crazy person. So, and this podcast, and I'm a Swiftie. I'm from New Jersey. I'm a millennial.
Just, these are all the facts.
So my first sex scene that I read, I was 18, and it was Breaking Dawn, and I was oh my God,
the
sex.
Age difference
the age
is a
difference
funny
is kind of cuckoo.
She went into the water and came up to him, and he was like a live wire. I read that sentence.
Also, the logistics of having sex
in
the
water.
Ocean.
Like, I know. It was so Edward could be human temperature almost.
Yeah.
But then the scene that was the best was when they were both vampires and they like laughed together and their bodies like moved
that
away.
One,
that made her feel good. I was like, whoa!
That one lives rent-free. Yeah, that one was pretty life-changing.
Those sentences were life-changing.
Yeah.
So I grew up in like a very Catholic household. So I
will be representing like the more milder end of the smut.
Okay, I thought my most recent book is called Attached to the Hip, and I thought it was so spicy for
oh
me.
My God.
And I would get like, when people would be like, no spice, I'd be like, what do you mean? The tension.
The tension is so good. It
the
is
sexual
so, so good.
Tension is off the charts,
but
guys.
Sexual tension
isn't that
is
spice?
Sex.
And then one time, so when I started, I got like two spicers, and I was like, oh my God, look, you guys, somebody gave me spice in a review. I'm so proud.
Our little baby girl.
I know. I'm like gradually getting more comfortable writing spice, but right now I'm at the point where like, you never see clothes off. But it's spicy for me.
Julie's just looking at you like, what the fuck?
Oh, I'm writing my first, okay, I'm writing my first adult novel, so I'm going to have to, I'm going to show the sex scene. So it's going to be crazy.
Wait, your first adult novel? I thought the last few were adult novels.
They're crossover.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're they're in the YA section, but they're about early 20s.
Okay, well then, I mean, if they're in the YA section, they should probably keep their clothes on.
Yeah, well, yeah, you like hear about the clothes coming off.
What did you say? The fade to black. You taught me that.
I love a fade to black.
No,
with lots of tension. And
we want
Breaking Dawn. No, so
okay,
frustrated.
Listen, you want sword to the hilt.
I like it when it's like you see everything leading up to insert.
No.
Oh. See, Sierra and I live in the shadows of fade to black.
I am pro insertion.
I'm fine with it. I just
vibes.
Can't write it yet. I have to get there.
No, and we're proud of you. Each book is progressing.
Yeah.
So the next few, there might be insertion.
Yeah.
Sierra is the shadow.
Yeah.
Of fade to black.
I'm feeling like a real sicko over here.
Don't worry.
Yeah. No, we're sick too.
But you know, I feel like you have Closed Door, and it sounds like you're about to write Cracked Door.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Baby steps.
Yeah. Okay, before we get into our main discussion, we're kind of getting into it, but I just want to take a second. So this is a podcast, so people are listening to this, and I want to thank everyone out there listening and everyone here for being here.
Thank you.
All right. We appreciate our community so much. This is a viewer-supported podcast, so we have a Patreon, and it has so many fun perks.
We have some of our patrons here.
Yes! Our patrons are here in the front row, and we love them so much. We do an extra show, half an hour show, every single week called Vanguard Tea Time for our patrons, and there's lots of other perks. And if you want to check that out and support the show further, the link is in the show notes. All right. And for the patrons, we're going to go right into the main discussion. And if not, we'll be right back after these messages. All right, we're back.
Okay. So I'm going to take you guys in through our main discussion. And our first question is, what was your first very smutty read that you remember reading? What was that experience like? And how old were you? I feel like we kind of already did this?
No, we didn't.
Okay.
This was a really smutty scene. The other one was the first sex scene ever.
Oh.
And I feel like this just like goes off
your
of
first
what I was
lemon
saying,
so
I was
or lime.
Start this.
Okay.
Okay. So my first like actual smutty sex scene, I was 29 years old.
What?
I thought I had read smut before in Throne of Glass, but then I read A Court of Silver Flames. And the blowjob was happening, and then it was just kept happening and happening. And I was like, when's it going to fade to black? Where's the fade? And it just completed and was done. And then there were so many sex
scenes. But did you like it?
No, it was good.
Okay.
It was good. So, it like, when it's earned like that, it's so good. It's
mm-hmm.
so fun.
I can agree with that.
But, yeah. Like, I just, every sex scene, I was like, oh, it's still going. And I turned the page, and I was like, there's more. And it would go all the way to the end, and I was like, whoa! I've never seen this before. It was a crazy time, man. I was very late to the party, y'all, and I'm just getting into it here. Julie, what about you?
Okay.
I was five.
Well, this is technically a young adult novel, but it was very saucy for its time. But Tithe by Holly Black. I don't know if anyone's read one of her. Okay.
I didn't finish that. There is a sex scene in that?
It gets sexy. I wouldn't say there's like full on sex, but it gets very sexy. And it was the first time I read a sexy-ish scene and I was like, more. And I probably read that when I was like 18 or 19. And then my, like, I think that I tried really hard to read like lit fic for a long time and be like a little snooty. And the sex scene in the sex in lit fic is so sad.
Like, yes.
And then like, he came, and then his penis was immediately flaccid. Like, that's really lit fic sex. And so that was never very satisfying. And so I read this book called God-Shaped Hole, and it had more sex in it, and it turned out to be one of my favorite books of all time. And then in our year of 2014, I met Sierra Simone. And what was it, 2015? You released your first smutty book.
Yes.
And we were on a writing retreat together, and I fell asleep in a bathtub.
Yes.
And you were like freaking out
sober?
About publishing. you were publishing Priest, right?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so you were publishing Priest, and I started reading Priest, and then I was like, more. And you were like, Tiffany Reese? Is it Tiffany Reese? Original Sinner series. And that one and Priest, like, I became unhinged, and I was like, I'm a pervert for the rest of my life. Yeah.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
I think once you're corrupted, it's really hard to go back.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, I think that I also, like, started off kind of slow. And I started in, like, Harry Potter fanfic in the aughts. And then, you know, you start out reading, like, I don't know, Cassandra Clare, and it's, like, this, like, regular fanfic.
Oh, Cassandra Clare, too.
Yeah. And then they had this website, I don't think it exists anymore, called restrictedsection.org.
Oh my God.
Love
that.
And there you could find anything. It was horrible and wonderful. And I got on it from my high school computer.
Oh, my God.
In the newspaper lab.
I'm oh, like, my God.
Let's just see what Harry and Dumbledore get up to. And then, you know.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy. Did they ever, like, block you from seeing it? Or?
Oh, they didn't know.
They didn't know.
Yeah, it was, like, 2002.
There's a fic that lives in my head rent-free that was, I think, originally posted to the restriction section, and it's the giant squid and Professor McGonagall.
Oh, I've heard you guys talk about that.
Oh. Yeah, it's pretty famous in my friend circle, so I think about that often, but I also started with Harry Potter fanfic. I think most of us...
You want to talk about yours?
Yeah, I think most of us did. I was 11. It was the same year as Breaking Dawn. It was a big year for me. Just hit puberty. Got my first bra. Thought I was the shit. And every night, I was like under my covers reading some new Dramione fanfic. I got creative, too. I really liked Fred Hermione. And then after that, I went into Twilight. Avatar the Last Airbender. I like kept going in my own fandoms, just trying to find, you know, whatever I could. I stopped reading like real books for a while.
And I can't believe you were reading that under your covers at 11 and I was like with the American Girl Book of You.
I was exploring. Like,
oh my God, look, this is
we
what
were
boobs
both
are
exploring
like.
Our bodies in different ways is what I'm learning. I also had that book. That was a book that we all remember,
it
the American
me how to put
Girl
a tampon
one.
In.
Yeah, those pictures are like graphic in my head.
head right now, but
yeah, everyone would be like, what stage of boob are you?
Yeah.
From the book of you.
Oh my God. But yeah, I mean, that moment changed my life forever, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, I too started in fan fiction. So, I mean, I read Forever by Judy Blume, but then I read Breaking Dawn, and that fade to black scene left me so frustrated. And this is, I was newly on Twitter, and I was just like, wow, has anyone written this? Like, someone send me a link. And that's when I first discovered fanfiction.net. And I went on a whole journey through Smutty Fix, Lemony Fix. But I specifically remember, I don't even remember what the title of the fic was, but I remember everyone was talking about magical unicorns. And this is how...
Sex?
Yes. It was called... It was a fic between Edward and Bella. And he was teaching her how to masturbate. And
unicorns?
He called it magical unicorns.
Oh.
And this is how I
sometimes it
learned.
Feels that way. Depends
about unicorns. No, he just called it. They just called it that.
Oh, it was just so people wouldn't know that it was about masturbating.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Why don't they call masturbating magical unicorns? That's so much nicer.
I think we should adopt it.
Yeah. That was magical unicorn.
BRB, I'm magical unicorny.
Yes.
It okay. does sound so much more magical.
It does. Mm-hmm.
Sierra and I just say we're visiting the spank bank. Oh. We're going to go make a withdrawal.
Are those like your... is your spank bank like tabs in a book or like a fanfic that you saved? Because that's what I consider my spank bank.
I mean, okay, so when I was a teenager, like I said, I was much more of a movie person. I really stopped reading for like 5 or 6 years. So my spank bank as a teenager was like... Cruel Intentions, Wild Things, Showgirls, like
Cruel Intentions.
Showgirls. Just yeah, yeah.
Versace. Those, how yeah. do they say it in that?
What? Huh?
When she says Versace.
Oh, I don't remember.
Versace?
Remember?
Yeah.
That sounds like me.
I think that's how she says it. Versace.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow, this podcast is like the dirtiest thing we've ever discussed. I'm kind of scandalized.
Thank you for being a part of it.
All right. So we love book recs here, obviously, and we want to know everyone's like book that encapsulates their perfect level of smut and what you loved so much about it. And for this one, we're going to start with Sierra. Kick us off.
Oh my gosh. Julie,
take us to the deep end, baby.
No. Julie was telling me about this question last night, and I actually think it's a hard one to answer because for me, the perfect amount of smut is really tied to the characters.
Yep.
And so it took me years to read Mariana Zapata because people would be like, it's a slow burn. And I'd be like, slow burn? Like, we've only got, like, you know, what is it, like 17,000 days left to live or whatever? I can't be spending that on a slow burn. And and then I read The Wall of Winnipeg and Me, and I was like, oh, this is what slow burn can be. And there's only one scene at like 99.5% of the way through the book, but it's incredible, and it's mind-blowing, and because it's perfect for these characters. But I will say, I just read a book called Split or Swallow.
Yes!
Oh, wow.
By Lindsay Straub, and it has the perfect amount of spice for me, which is nonstop. and it is about a basilisk shifter and a girl.
Oh my God.
Wow.
And
what a sentence.
A basilisk shifter.
And in this world, the basilisks are really good at boning. They're just like, they're super good at it. They're like, it's their talent, right? And, you know, they're good at boning.
Here's your belief. Just suspend it.
Yeah. And so in this
world. Wait, as a snake?
Oh, they shift into human form.
But he does shift into
snake. But they
like,
shift into a snake.
But
what did you call that last night? The promise of the premise?
The promise of the premise.
Wait. Does he go in and like bite her and murder her?
No, I wouldn't say there's any like fang biting.
Okay.
It's all like blunt teeth biting. But there is a point where his tongue turns into a snake tongue.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Split or swallow?
I'm just picturing Harry Potter. I'm like, he's so poisonous. How would this happen?
I don't think anyone wants to fuck that basilisk.
His eyes murder you.
But the two tongue thing. Have you seen him in a human form? I mean,
yeah.
And his dad. Anyway, so. It is so spicy. It's so good. And there are things in there that I had never seen before. I was like, oh, my God, girl. And
you've never seen it.
Yeah. If she said she's never seen it, then it's...
Hot damn.
Yeah. So,
Wow, split and swallow. Write it down, guys.
Yeah. Split and swallow.
Write that down.
Ploweth, what about you?
I just read Powerless by Elsie Silver, and I've been really getting into her books. They're Canadian cowboys, and they're all connected, which I love. I love when, like, the next book is hinted at in the previous one. That makes me really happy. But it's a hockey cowboy romance, which... reminds me of my boyfriend, not to flex, but the trope is childhood, like, friends to lovers, which is just so wholesome, but there's light BDSM, and there's, like, sub-dom sex, but it's earned, which I think is really important. I think we've all talked about that. It makes it so much better and so much sexier when it's earned, but I think all her books are top tier for me, and it, like, gets pretty rough, which I like a lot. And I mean, besides that, I think A Court of Silver Flames, just because I would let Cassian do whatever he wanted to me. I'd let him step on me and spit on me. And I just like it a little rough. So that's my preference for sure.
Natasha?
Okay, well, my favorite is a fan fiction. Landscape at the Blur of Conquers, which is now Hurricane War by Thea Guanzan. And the fanfic, though, it's a Raylo fanfic. I feel like, now, traditionally published authors over here, do you feel like traditionally published smut is not as good as fanfic smut?
I would also say traditionally published smut is not as smutty as indie smut, too.
Indie smut, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, fanfic, you're there for the smut for the most part.
Yeah. So I love there's a whole scene where she's on a couch in the middle of, like, a ball.
Oh, no.
Wait, they kill about? Everyone in the spaceship.
What book are you reading?
And then they have sex.
Wait, do you know
surrounded by everyone's dead. And it's, I was, wow.
What book is this?
This is Landscape with the Blur of Conquers.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And that's now Hurricane Wars, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh!
Wow. I don't know if it's going to be added to the published book, though.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So, my
Also, Bride.
Oh. I need to read that.
I have to read that just to know about the lock.
The knot.
The knot.
The knotting. It's not locking.
Christine is here to represent.
I'm a newbie.
The newbie. Mild. She's mild.
Mm-hmm. My perfect level of smut is April 25th. You
only have my God.
No. Mine is Bee Treed. It's a mild smut, but I love it. I love that book so much. I love when they have sex near the bookcase.
It's good sex.
Yeah, it is. Good sex. I think she writes really beautiful sex.
Yeah.
She does.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Not nasty. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love a beautiful, I love when she, like, describes all the metaphors. Like, an Emily Henry metaphor is my favorite. Yeah. So that's my answer. I feel like the girl from Miss Congeniality. Next.
So I have multiple answers because, like I said, I think it's different for trad books and I think it's different for indie and also fanfic. So I would have to say for trad, one of my favorite smut writers comes from fanfic and it's Julie Soto.
Mm-hmm.
Her smut is so good. She has this Not Another Love Song just came out and the two characters are playing a cello on the front cover. And in that scene, that's not the only thing that's being...
Ooh, I wonder about that.
Yeah.
I've heard such good things about that.
I think that would be a good, like...
stepping stone?
Like, further step for you. Okay.
We need, Rex for each level for Christina.
Yeah.
And then work
if
up
you're
to
looking
it.
For, like, darker, in some cases, indie romance, I really love The Salacious Players Club by Sarah Kate. Specifically, Eyes on Me. Is that the one with the brother?
That's the voyeur one.
Oh.
Give me more.
Is that the...
No, Eyes on Me is the stepbrother. That's right.
Okay. We love a stepbrother.
Stepbrother and public sex. Yeah. Love.
And then Vicious Lost Boys. It's by... Is it Lily St. Crow?
Nikki
St. Crow. Sorry. I know her real name, and I have to try not to say her real name into a microphone. That is what I affectionately call Peter porn, because it's just Peter Pan porn. If you've ever wondered if people could have a threesome in the sky...
Wow.
They can't. I'm
I wasn't, but now.
I'll be 100% honest and tell you that all I've read this year is fanfic. And a really lovely reader just came up to me before this panel and presented me with a bound copy of my favorite fanfic at the moment. And it's called Bloody, Slutty, and Pathetic. It's a Germione fic.
I want to read it.
Me too.
So good. Okay, J.K.
Oh my God,
Rowling
that
is
book
trash.
Is so
that's
cool.
That's our like our, you know, caveat. We all, J.K. Rowling is the worst. But this,
show
Germione,
the book.
It's Whoa. So good. And look at this. This reader is so talented. Where are you? Are you in here?
Oh my God. Yeah, it's gorgeous.
So good.
Holy crap.
So good. So Draco is such a simp for Hermione in this
Love.
Book. But he's also absolutely vicious to everyone else. He's like, I don't really have anything going on in my life. I'm an ex-Death Eater. I'm just going to make you crazy powerful and like cut out people's tongues sometimes.
Whoa.
Oh.
Bloody, slutty, pathetic.
Like
okay.
Avoxes.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Okay. Now, I'm sorry.
I'm reading my first Germione fanfic.
Which one?
Breath Mints and Battle Scars.
Oh, that's one of our favorites.
That's kind of jumping into the deep end for
it me. Is.
Yeah.
It
is.
Natasha told me to read it.
No. You
I'm going
to
read
need
it
to
too.
You start
but...
with, like, Mortifying Ordeal.
Well,
yeah.
I do like, really like, though, all of his journal entries being, like, fucking, fuck, fuck,
Ordeal
fuck,
would
fuck.
Also be... Mortifying Ordeal is a good call, Sierra. That would be a good one for you.
Yeah, Breath Mints and Battle Scars is great, but I'm telling you, Mortifying Ordeal.
Okay. Mortifying Ordeal is my favorite of all time. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And they earn it.
Okay. We are going to move into our hot takes because we want to have time for our smut hot takes. I'm going to go down the line, and then we're going to come to y'all and get some of your hot takes. So here's your warning again. It's coming. All right. Chloe, you want to go first?
Oh, God. Okay. I'm like worried I'm gonna
I
get
told
like,
her,
burned.
I'm like, I need to screen
she
yours.
She needed to screen mine. These aren't my hottest takes. If you want those, come find me after. And I just don't want to get canceled. I'm nervous. Okay. The snarling and the growling and the baring the teeth shit. Not necessary. Thank you very much. unless they are not human. Unless they are not human, because that feels earned
to
me.
No, but the scene in Twilight when they all see the vampires in the first one, they're like...
We're talking about sex scenes.
We're talking about sex scenes.
No.
Yeah, that's a... Like,
that shit
like
is cringe, though.
I agree.
I agree. That shit's
playing
cringe.
Baseball.
I'm talking about when
they're snarling.
I'm talking about when he's like, and the
narrator's like, and he snarled at me, and I immediately was wet. It's like, what?
How and why?
Well, unless, he lifted his lip like.
No, like, nothing about it is attractive.
That's
and
a snarl,
if,
though,
if
right?
If someone does that to you right? in real life, oh my God, run.
Leave the room. No one should be
Wait,
growling or snarling.
A snarl, right?
But okay, well, that was ugly. Yeah, I don't. That's
stop.
Right.
So, and it's also giving like I'm alpha. You know what I mean? And that just is super cringy to me. Again, unless you're a werewolf or like whatever. But I just, it gives me secondhand embarrassment. So that's maybe my like most controversial hot take. Don't snarl at me. Don't growl. Don't bare your teeth. Unless you're like a fae, I guess, in some situations. But yeah, when you're having sex with me, like, just look at me. I don't know.
Don't snarl in my direction.
Well, what about you?
Oh God, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I prefer the words dick and pussy to penis and vagina.
Okay.
In
okay.
smut.
Vagina.
Vagina.
some of the words that people say are crazy. Like I saw like female chasm.
Wait, what?
I've recently
read
Female
that's
Chasm.
Creative.
Oh,
Chasm.
It reminds me of Divergent.
I hope that's in neither of your books, because that is... Oh. It makes it seem very large in there.
It's like the void, the female void.
Listen, there's just room for more, you know?
The portal under there.
In most of Sierra's books... Unless there's a damn good reason for it to be called Chasm, it shouldn't be.
I mean, in most of Sierra's books, there's like three or more people in there, so...
Do you call it a chasm?
I don't think I have any chasms.
Okay,
no cool. No abyss. Void.
Do you want me to go? Just go down the line.
All right. I have like really quick ones. Okay, so first hot take. I like the Breaking Dawn sex scene. We already went through that.
The line.
Second hot take. I don't like when they say I take the length of him.
Oh, the length of him.
I feel like every time they say it, I'm like, or when they milk. Oh, oh, I don't like it.
Oh, I don't like
it. I don't like it.
First reminds one, me of like alien
milk.
She milks
when it's
him.
Happened, I'm like,
don't read Morning Glory Milking Farm.
Yeah.
It's literally in the title.
Yeah.
And then my really hot take is the back and forth leading up to the smut is more fun than the smut.
Okay.
In some situations,
I
sure,
like
yeah.
that.
I'm proud of you for saying that out loud.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Hey, Julie, what's yours?
I think Sierra has to go first because I think that I have to decide if I can say mine out loud.
No, you have
just
to
just say
first.
It.
Okay.
Out loud.
You can do it.
Say it out loud. Okay. I think I have a few hot takes. One of them is that conflict is okay, and it's not going to... It's a book, so we need to have a reason for the book to go on more than, like, 20 pages.
Mm.
So I think that it's okay for sex to sometimes feel like... a little bit like a fight and a little bit like it's okay. Yeah. It's okay for it to be unresolved or make you feel uneasy because we've got to start somewhere to get somewhere. And then I write young adult books and they get banned some places. So please do not tell your like local Moms Against Liberty or whatever the fuck group that I'm about to say this, but like, do you always have to wear a condom?
I strongly agree. Endorsement.
There are other ways to practice safe sex, and also like sometimes you need room for a breeding kink, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Wait, I thought it was going to be way worse based on your preface.
Oh, okay,
I'm on board.
Okay, I just didn't want when you write for teens too.
Well, like
when
yeah,
you put
they
like
need
a
condom.
Practice safe sex, but also
if you're over the age of 21 and you don't want to, you don't have to.
Get tested.
Get tested.
Yeah.
And then I'll just quickly add this, and that if anything we've said here is your favorite thing, then fuck us. Because my like guiding light of a phrase is like, don't yuck my yum. So like what you like and screw the rest.
Yeah.
Like I just, especially with like, I'm going to sound so old right now, on the TikTok, everyone's got an opinion, and that's great. I want to hear everyone's opinion. But also, I don't want someone else's opinion to limit what I love.
Mm-hmm. That's
so,
a great take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a really good segue. Like what you like, milk what you milk.
I'm sorry about my milking.
But I...
There's like more than one body part you can milk, actually.
You can milk anything with nipples.
So true, bestie.
You can milk anything with nipples, Greg.
My take is a little bit like perpendicular, I think, to the rest of everyone else's takes in that... and it's kind of more for writers, and it's that I don't think we should worry too much if people have particular words that they don't like. Yeah. I did a deep dive on this a couple years ago because I teach a class on erotic romance writing, and one of the things I realized is that everyone has a different word. So for example, the vulva, right? Like there are people who really like the P word, and there are people who really like the C word.
What's the P word?
Pussy.
I said it.
Okay. So, I mean, okay, some people will say, don't ever say the C word because it's awful.
Oh, I
it's
love
been
the
used
C
against
word.
Yeah. Women.
The C word is our favorite word.
Me too.
I love it.
I feel like it's come into the zeitgeist and they've
taken it back, baby.
Yeah. And well, we're not talking about clitoris.
No. Yeah. It's one of the oldest words in the English language. And it's the oldest word in the English language for that
say
thing.
Yeah.
No,
say
they're going to get banned on Spotify.
Yeah.
But no, you know what it is.
Fine.
And I think, and it's the same thing with like male genitalia. There are some people who are really, they prefer dick. There are some people who really prefer cock. There are some people who prefer penis. There are some people
sword.
Who prefer velvet sword, velvet wrapped steel. Member, rigid length, thick inches.
Tell them about your lips.
I will say, a word will never stop me from reading a fic.
Yeah.
No,
even
no,
if
no,
it
no,
makes
no.
me a little uncomfy, I'll still keep going because the sex is hot and I want to know what he does with his throbbing length. Like, I don't know.
Well, and here's what I will say, though. So I'm like, you should use whatever word you want as a writer because, like, there's just no way to make everyone happy. Someone mm-hmm. is always going to be unhappy. But there is one description that no one should ever use, and I heard about it years ago. In a historical romance, someone was describing testicles, and they described the testicles as two swan's eggs in a nest of hair.
And
I do think two swan's eggs in a hairy nest.
I could have gone my whole life without knowing that.
Yeah.
Just so you know, Sierra.
Yeah. We are both former librarians, and so we're very used to like the rehearsed adage of like there are no wrong questions. But sometimes there are.
Yeah.
Sometimes there are wrong euphemisms for dick and balls.
Yeah.
Speaking of questions and hot takes, can you line up at the mic if you have one?
Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
We won't judge
Join
you.
Us. Yeah.
We
Go
might
ahead.
Judge a little. No, I'm just kidding.
Get make out with the mic, though. Like, get all up in it so we can hear you.
Get close to it.
Or scream, like, a little bit.
My hot take is that don't bond with me over reading smut, but then shame me for reading sentient object smut.
Sentient object smut. Can you give me an example of the sentient object smut?
Sylvia Morrow stuffed and double stuffed.
My friends, have you not read Unhinged?
The classic Squeak.
Stuffed and double stuffed is a pillow, and in the sequel, there's a goldfish.
Oh my God.
Wow. I'm not judging you, and thank you for educating me.
Thank you. Yeah, that was so interesting.
Who among us has not humped a pillow? You know?
Me at 11 under my pillows. Hello.
Hi. My hot take is that asexual people can still enjoy smut.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you say your name?
I'm Elizabeth Raddatz.
Okay. That's a good take.
Thank you for your hot take.
It's not a hot take. Everyone should like that take.
Yes.
And I just want to...
Well, boo them.
It's a spectrum.
Well, and I want to do a quick pitch for, there's a volume of work, it's an anthology, it comes out every year called The Best Lesbian Erotica, and last year, 2023's, had two or three really great ace stories in there. Highly recommend. It's The Best Lesbian Erotica, and it comes out from Cleus Press, like, annually every year.
That's awesome.
I'm a little bit nervous, but this is my Roman Empire, so
and what's your name?
Gabby.
Hi, Gabby.
Hi, Gabby.
Okay. So we need more plus size representation in smut, which is not my hot take. My hot take is that main characters that are thin, I find the smut scenes to be extremely boring. How many times can we read, like, she's being crushed by the weight of him? Mm. And I'm just like, I don't know if it's because before there wasn't a lot of representation when I was, like, a kid and, like, growing up and reading it. But now I'm just like, I can't do it. I think it's so boring. Mm. And I love where we're, like, heading in media and, like, heading with literacy. But, yeah, my own empire. I always, like, feel bad because people I know, they want to, like, be seen as, you know, if they're thin. But I'm like, God. It's so overdone and boring at this point. I can't do it anymore.
It's valid.
And to piggyback on that, like, I think plus size heroes like need their moment in the sun too. Yeah.
Give us a bear.
Yes. Oh my God. I want that.
My name's Teresa. My hot take is I love a good breeding kink, but I think I get tired of reading some romances where in order to have the happily ever after, you have that pregnancy in the last two.
Preach.
Oh, yeah.
Preach.
And it doesn't make sense to the characters. Yeah. I love when it fits, but when it doesn't, you're like, oh, okay, really? You could have ended before that hit.
100%.
I do love a pregnancy trope. I'm not gonna lie. I love a good Dramini pregnancy trope.
As long as it's earned.
As long as it's earned, yes.
Okay, so this is a hot take slash question slash something I can never stop thinking about. Oh. Let's start with me. I'm 31, okay? So.
And your name?
Megan.
Hi,
nice
Megan.
Nice to meet you, Megan.
Megan's 31. No, college romances. They're 18, 19, sometimes mm-hmm. 20. This could be a me issue. How do they learn all those positions at that young of an age?
My books, they don't know those positions.
Did I miss something out 10 years, 11 years ago? Is this a me issue?
They're reading fanfic and visiting a little
website called
pornhub.com.
I was about to say,
pornhub.com.
Everything I learned.
Porn. Yeah, they're watching porn.
So I think that smut has made me much better at sex and much better at sexting. And my current boyfriend was like, wow, you can really write some sexts. Like, this is amazing. And it's fully because of smut. So now he's reading Icebreaker so he can get, you know, like an education and more. And I'm going to continue to make him. But like, it's... Smart,
also, I
smart.
Think it's perfectly okay to not know what you're
yes,
doing
true.
When you're yeah. 18, 19, 20, or whatever age,
whatever
and you will
age.
Learn as you go.
And we're all on our own timeline.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
So, kind of a twofold. Number one, this is really aimed towards Sarah J. Moss. Call it a clit and not the apex of the thighs. And second, I will just leave it here. It's cum, C-U-M, not C-O-M-E.
Drops mic.
Yeah. This poor, like, IT, this poor guy helping us out with our tech.
Andrew.
You're doing great,
Andrew,
sweetie.
Andrew,
thank you. Hi, y'all. Ooh, I don't like that.
We do.
Hello. All right, there we go. Hi, I'm Dom. I'm 30. And, I have tried so hard to get into the reverse harem. The idea, so hot. Because you want to be worshipped. You want to be number one. Mm-hmm. And at first, I used to think, dude, that's way too much dick.
No such thing.
How are they going to handle that? She got a lot going on. If you are one of those people, there is one book that will change it. Katie Roberts, Court of the Vampire Queen.
Ooh. Wait, can you say it one more time, like, directly in?
Katie Roberts, The Court of the Vampire Queen.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Downloading now.
Write that down.
Male,
write that down.
Male, female. Okay. And it literally, first chapter, bit and fucked. So if you're a ratty like me, you're a twihard, you love a little vampire, you know, little fantasy smut, little monster something, and you're like, I don't know how people
something.
Are into this, like, too much dick, she will show you.
Thank you.
I was going to say, one of my hot takes is, like, monster romance is elite.
Oh my God, yes.
You could do so many
and
things.
And becoming normalized. Love that for mm-hmm. us.
Hi, I'm Robin.
Love the fit.
Thank you.
Is this a Tamlin?
No.
No, it's Lucian.
It's Lucian,
obviously.
I'm sorry.
Obviously.
I'm sorry. You're so a Lucian,
babe. The insult.
If anybody else sees me at the con now and calls me Tamlin, I'm going to be super upset.
Okay, wait, what is
Lucian.
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 Actor.
Well, you look hot, and that's what matters.
Thank you.
Hit us.
My hot take is also related to reverse harems. If the swords don't cross, I don't want to read it.
Amen.
Oh, amen. Yeah.
Right. I've just learned about reverse harems.
There's no way.
Do you know
there's
what
that no
means?
Way that it wouldn't have
yeah,
swords crossed.
A harem with a girl. Honestly, a swords crossed. Like, penises crossing.
Cross? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Sword is
handle.
A cock.
I think I know what that is.
Are you sure?
I mean, I just know
Julie,
what they
just say it.
Mean. Penises. I don't know what it is.
The penises. Have to touch the penises. And I don't just mean the penises have to touch. I mean, like, the bodies holding the penises have to touch.
Mm-hmm. Like, put them side by side and rub?
Or inside by side.
So many people listening to this at home and facepalming really hard.
Also, people are thinking the same thing I'm thinking.
Totally, 100%.
There's a scale.
My hot take is that even if it's a quick and dirty, you know, quickie in a bathroom, every sex scene, like, it's not a good sex scene if it can fit on one page.
Valid. I don't know if that's a hot take.
Hi, I'm Carissa. I don't have a hot take, but I do have a question, if I
can. Yeah, yes, yeah.
To you authors up there, you love what you write, and you put that out into the world, and there's a huge community who love what you wrote. But I'm wondering, how do you feel when it comes to any sort of negativity, or if you get any sort of hate comments? How do you handle, or how do you have to deal with your emotions when you deal with somebody who hates something that you put your heart and your soul into?
You should go first. Start?
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, I think that the real answer is, like, humans are wired to receive negativity with more emotional valence than we do positivity. So you can read 99 five-star reviews, but the one-star review is going to be the one that you're thinking about for a week after you read it. And that's just human wiring. So one of the things that I do when it comes to indirect criticism, so like reviews or something, is when a book comes out, I don't go troll through my own one-stars. Julie will, because she's a sicko. But like,
that hurts, man.
I will have a friend that I trust go through the one stars, and what they do for me is they kind of pull together common themes. Mm-hmm. So they're like, oh, you know, a lot of people were actually disappointed that we didn't get to see this, or a lot of people felt like this, and that way I'm receiving the feedback through like a trusted intermediary. For me, because I write taboo romance, I do actually receive a lot of direct criticism. I have a lot of people email me and tell me I'm going to hell. And in that case, one of the things
I... See you there, bitch.
This is like an ongoing practice. Thank you. I'm sorry. He said to get friendly with it, and all I could think of was dirty things. So I think that this is an ongoing practice of centering yourself as an artist, and it comes from having surety in the art you create. And so if you are certain about your choices while you're writing them, it becomes much easier after the fact to receive feedback and realize, like, this isn't meant for me. Like, this, they needed to give this to me, but I don't have to receive it because I feel certain about my choices. And when it's about smut, people are often not criticizing the thing that you wrote. They're criticizing their perception of the thing that you wrote. And that difference, I think, is crucial because you guys aren't even having a conversation about the same thing. They're fighting about an idea they have in their mind.
Yeah, not everyone is the audience for your book, too. It's just going to happen. People are not going to like everything, which... Yeah. Just kind of make peace with it eventually and untag yourself from the reviews.
I keep my Sierra baby in a little bubble, and so, like, even when, like, one time for one of our books, I saw a bad review come up before our editor had sent it to us, like a bad, like, published review, and I emailed my editor ahead of time, and I was like, don't you dare send this to my baby girl. You do not show her this bad review. So I will sometimes comb through our reviews and send her, like, the highlights and the good stuff. Or sometimes, like, in our first book, there was a trunk of sex toys that the main character packs, like, on our way out of town.
Yep.
And we just kind of forgot about the trunk of sex toys. And so there were a lot of reviews that were like, where did the trunk of sex toys go? And so I told Sierra about this, and she was like, we really put the gun on the mantle and just never unleashed the sex toys.
Yeah.
So if you actually come visit our table, we have a whole bonus scene that we wrote full of the trunk of sex toys.
Oh my God.
And you can come
get
the QR
amazing.
Code for it. But also, I grew up in an organized crime family, and so I love conflict.
Oh, Lord drop.
Like,
wow.
Like, come fuck with me.
Like,
I don't care.
You can listen to our podcast with Julie, and she goes
yes.
into it.
She talks about this a little bit.
So I'm fine with it. Like, say what you want. Come at me. Let's talk about it to my face. Mm-hmm. It's not healthy, but it feels good.
Wow. Reading your one stars, that sounds so masochistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lean on friends or read it and say fuck them.
Hi, this is Abby.
Hi, Abby.
Whatever I say, like, there's not enough of, like, it's there. But I'm going to say it anyway because I think in mainstream, like, bestsellers, like sex scenes, I don't think there's enough toys.
Yeah. That's true.
It's closer to reality.
That's true. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. All right. We always end the show with Mary Kiss Cliff.
All right, Mary Kiss Cliff, smut in the first chapter, smut on the beach, smut the night before everyone might die in battle.
I love this. So I made this one up because I love smut the night before everyone might die in battle. I'm specifically thinking of the like least smutty smut scene, but from City of Heavenly Fire. I love when Clay's finally has sex, and they use a condom, and they're, like, in an alternate dimension, and it's amazing.
Look how okay, he so brings
is that
a
your
con-
Mary? Is that your
That's
Mary?
My Mary. That's okay. My Mary. I'm going to delete Cliff Smut on the beach and Kiss Smut in the first chapter.
I am also going to marry Smut the night before everyone might die in battle, because that is elite.
Oh, and, like, Wings and Ruin also has it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's also in, like, a lot of Raylo stuff. I'm going to Cliff Smut in the first chapter and Kiss Smut on the beach.
Smut on
and
the
sand.
Beach.
Sand. But the sand.
Yeah,
sand.
I was about to say, I'm going to Cliff Smut on the beach. If you've ever attempted, don't. It's not good. Ever.
It happens in Lady Midnight.
It's not good ever. Smut in the first chapter, I actually think I'm going to marry. I love a good, like, one-night stand turns into lover's trope.
Oh, yeah.
I love, like, a good, like, girl being like, oh, I just, like, I'm in my sexual liberty era, and then she falls in love. And then I'll kiss Smut the night before everyone might die in battle. I like the urgency of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What about y'all?
Okay. I'm going to Cliff Smut on the beach, unless it's a public beach and it's like a
aren't
public
beach is public,
like a public fingering scene.
Yeah,
I'm a pervert.
Like Taylor Swift.
All I think about is the
sand.
The sand.
And so high school, Taylor Swift is talking about being fingered with all his friends and stifling her size.
Welcome. Okay, so that's my Cliff, is Smut on the beach. Because listen, you don't want sand in your butthole.
No. Mm. No,
even
you don't.
Even if you're not taking a trip
it gets
to the
there
butthole,
anywhere.
You're going to get sand in your butthole.
You get sand in your butthole just
there
going
anyway,
in the ocean.
Right, so you make it worse.
No, yeah. Okay, and then I'm gonna kiss Smut the night before the big battle, and then I'm gonna marry Smut in the first chapter because Sierra and I like to say, what do we like to say?
Fast sexual burn.
No, you say
fast sexual burn, slow emotional burn.
Yes,
I like that.
I'm on
like
board.
That.
I'm on board.
Yeah.
Same. I would marry Smut in the first chapter because then you know it's going to be messy from the beginning. Yes. They've already made a mess, and the rest of the book is them trying to clean it up. I think I would kiss Sex on the Beach, but I'm transmitting the beach to like a moody Irish sea cliff.
Ooh,
so, like,
okay.
Yeah, this
like
cliff,
Ireland.
Yeah. Or like Scotland. You know, like they're on a cliff and the water's nearby, but sand isn't in your butthole.
Yeah, sure.
And also, I just feel like sand for like leverage, like your knees would like dig into the sand.
Oh, it'd be painful.
Just be shifting. Yeah. I just feel like I would be in, like I would be indented
sounds
into
cheap.
The sand
like,
by the end.
Dig
yeah.
a hole into the sand at a certain
yeah.
point.
Yeah. And then I'm gonna cliff Sex the night before the big battle because you need something to live for.
Yeah.
But what if they want to live for it because it was so good they need to do it again?
And I will say, okay, this series has a lot of triggers, so I recommend checking out reviews before you check it out. But there's a series called Captive Prince by C.S.
Oh,
Bahat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's an MM series, and in book two, there is like sex the night before. They have to like leave and go fight their wars, mm-hmm. and it is incredible. Nice. So that I'll keep. That's the one thing that gets to stay.
Our new book has sex in the second chapter, but they had previously had a threesome. with a very hilarious character. So we really like just start it early.
I like that.
Start off with a bang, literally.
I want to read more group and threesome. That's on my like bucket list. Yeah.
I'm telling you, Sierra's your girl.
All right, everybody. That is our show today. Woo! Thank you so much for coming out. We're going to take a picture with you, so please don't leave before we take a quick selfie.
Yes.
But, all right, we release episodes every Friday, so this will be coming out next Friday. Our show is edited by Alex Polis, Christine Riccio, Natasha Polis, and Ricky McBrayer. Our socials are done by Chloe Laverson. And you can follow us at Those Forking Fangirls on Instagram and TikTok. And we're on YouTube. We have visual versions of every episode is being filmed right now. Hello, thank you for watching. YouTube.com/ThoseForkingFangirls. You can follow us for free in your favorite podcast app. My name's Christine.
I'm Natasha.
I'm Chloe.
I'm Julie.
And I'm Sierra.
And we'll see you next time. Thank you all for listening.
Bye. Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.